previously on Getting the Mecha.
WALL-E is a device for explaining the ramifications of Flashpoint. And that kind of scares me in a way that Flashpoint, an event from so long ago, still has an impact now. But also it speaks volumes for the rest of the DC universe, and that's what I really do like about this story.
You are listening to the 11th episode of the GITM podcast, the anime and comic book podcast of which we take things one arc further. I am your host Jamal today. I talk anime and comic books every darn week, and it is my quest to make sense of it all. In today's episode, I am speaking Dark Days the Forge as a part of this arc of which I will be speaking about Dark Days the Forge, Dark Days the Casting, and Dark Knight's Metal. In episode 3, I actually delved into the Rebirth line of continuity, but today let's look at something slightly off-center, and that is Dark Days and Dark Knights, a sort of scheme of continuity or part of the multiverse that isn't like our standard line of continuity. If you do get value from today's episode, consider subscribing to the podcast on your podcast app, and also consider leaving a review on that as well. It helps a ton get the show out there. But without further ado, let's get on with the episode. This is episode 11 of the GITM podcast, reviewing Dark Days The Forge. I know recently we have been speaking a lot about preludes, and recently, or if you consider recently as episode 3, I spoke about DC Universe Rebirth and how that sets up a new line of continuity that is the Rebirth line of continuity, if you will. However, in today's episode, we're going slightly deeper than that. Dark Knight's Metal, and generally Dark Knights and Dark Days, brings forward a new segment of the multiverse and brings forward concepts of which we have never been introduced to. Dark Knight's Metal introduces this part of the multiverse that has gone unexplored and therefore gives way to new opportunities and new narrative threads to come through. As of the multiversary and common knowledge of the DC universe, it has always been said that there are 52 parts of our multiverse, or more specifically, 52 Earths. However, what if I was to tell you that that wasn't the case, and in fact there was an unexplored segment of our multiverse, known as the Dark Multiverse? And that is what Dark Knight's Metal explores. It has been said that multiple and various events in the DCU have led up to this point of which the Dark Multiverse will be discovered, and the time is now. And that leads me perfectly to a plot summary. This episode, as you can tell, contains spoilers from Dark Days The Forge. It was once said that there are 52 Earths in the multiverse. That is what the models say, that is what the structures say, and there is evidence for it. But what if I was to tell you that that was not completely true? Enter the Dark Multiverse, a place where things that aren't supposed to be are possible, and events that haven't occurred in the DCU of which we know have become possible. Forever it has remained in the darkness, but not for much longer. Over the course of many years, Batman has slowly been compelled to seek out this darkness as he is with everything else. With thorough amounts of research and examinations, he has slowly begun to collect materials that will lead him into this unknown darkness. And although he may think that he is the only one on this journey, there have been others that have done it too, notably Carter Hall. Carter Hall, also known as Hawkman, has descended on this very same journey to uncover the darkness, but with one thing that Batman doesn't know, and that is that the symbol of the bat holds much more significance than anybody knows to this day. The bat is one which looms within the darkness, and now the dark multiverse waits to be tampered with. Or is it? And that, I think, in summary, is the very prelude to Dark Knight's Metal. I don't want to go too far into it, or else I will be bleeding slightly into the first two issues and the casting, so I will leave the summary there, but we will pick up on that in the casting episode. One thing that I am really happy with when it comes to Metal initially is just the fact that it decides to lay down these groundworks. I think the context is very rich by itself. It takes these bigger concepts that are Hawkgirl and Hawkman and all these other materials and people that play a very important role and brings those together to meet this unknown, which is the darkness, or what we now know is the dark multiverse. But I think to add to that point, what makes this even more interesting is that we have no true concept of the dark multiverse, or a very minimal one. We don't know what is within the dark multiverse, we don't know why the dark multiverse exists, we just know that there is some form of darkness that resides within the multiverse. And that is what I think preludes and contextual pieces are very good at doing. They're very good at piquing your interest for carrying on. I know I spoke a bit about that in the Evangelion episode, but in a different context, but I think that is something that can be applied here. This will sound kind of blunt, but I think the best way to create something that is unknown or something that is secretive is just not to show it. Simple as. And we get a very minimal sense of one, what is within that, as the DCU has been very prominent at showing us different Earths and where is what. I mean, what is where. But the dark multiverse doesn't have any of that. In fact, the only thing we see is the large bat statue, and I think that is more an element of fear-mongering to rub in the message that this is the dark multiverse. But besides that, we don't know what is within there. It kind of feels like a tale told by Carter Hall. It also feels like a tale told by Batman that there is something there, but I don't really know what it is, as he goes to all his superhero friends and says, I need this, I need you to do that, I need to obtain this, I need to lock up that. All for this one alleged conspiracy or what appears to be like a dream. The dark multiverse has almost zero presence, and I don't mean that as a criticism, in fact that is a compliment. If you don't know what something is, that is what it's trying to achieve, as we don't know what is there. We are, as an audience, very concerned as to what is within the dark multiverse, or what even the dark multiverse is, as we barely have a concept of it. I want to zoom into that word concept. It's the fact that it is only a mere concept. We haven't seen it materially. After reading Dark Days, I honestly felt confused, but confused in the good way. The fact that you don't really know what it is, it simply is only a concept. In the DC Universe, there has been a very big trend of showing us literally what is within our multiverse, cough cough the multiversary, and just a variety of methods of showing us what is out there. If you take the whole Earth 2 series, the stuff with Year One, all of those things are very good at showing us that there is something else out there. But what happens when we don't know, and that is what Dark Days the Forge does to us. Along those lines, I do think a really important thing is that Dark Days the Forge brings things together, and similarly to DC Universe Rebirth, in fact, opposite to DC Universe Rebirth, where new strands come out of that very same book or graphic novel, Dark Days the Forge works very differently in the way that it takes old threads and uses that as fuel. So if we take the culmination of multiple events, so the landing of the ship that led to Hawkman and Hawkgirl being exposed to Nth metal, if we also take the stuff with the Joker and the Curiosity of the Three Joker plotline, which was very much teased in DC Universe Rebirth, I spoke about that in episode 3, and all these other things, even stuff to do with Duke Thomas and Mr. Miracle, all those things combine together to make this new and kind of interesting piece, as it means that all these concepts and decisions that Batman has made over the years and over these various story arcs has led all to this moment. And therefore, we can say that Dark Days of the Forge is a culmination of multiple events leading to one big plot or space opera, as described by some of the writers, to my understanding. And that is why I respect Snyder as a Batman writer and a writer in general. It proves that he is writing with intention. Snyder puts all these pieces that he's placed and distributed across his works and multiple Batman works and puts them into one piece. He was therefore creating what was a puzzle that now has become one big picture, or is forming into a picture within Dark Days the Forge. And I think that leads me very nicely to something that I thought about kind of just while I was thinking about the Forge and metal in general, and that was the name, the Forge. The Forge kind of implies that multiple materials are brought together. If you think of a forgery where you need to bring together multiple metals to therefore cast, so that kind of correlates between the two books. So if we take the Forge, of which we're talking about today, various metals and various events, let's not forget the events which are more important, I would say, in the Forge than the casting, which is more emphasized when it comes to the materials and what he needs to collect. But multiple events coinciding and multiple things in time all coming together and piecing together for this one event. And the second thing I think when it comes to the Forge is just the intensity. And when I think of forgeries, I just think of all that hot metal and all that hot sludge, which you see in those documentaries on how things were made and all those things. That is what I think of when I think of the Forge. It is slowly building together to something that is more extensive, building up into this massive quote-unquote space opera. But if we just pull back a bit, I wanted to talk a bit about cross-cutting and how that was used within Dark Days the Forge. One thing I really did like about that was the variation between the amount of information that, say, Carter Hall has versus Batman. And yes, all the comparisons between Carter Hall and Batman are going to come out now, or they already did. They are very similar characters in a way when it comes to knowledge and their sort of pursuit for greater knowledge. They're kind of never satisfied with the amount of knowledge which they have. And that kind of shows that knowledge transcends generations, but that's not what I'm trying to get at. What I'm trying to get at is that we see two men going for the same thing, but the irony of that thing is that one has more information than the other, and therefore we can come to some sort of conclusion that Batman is kind of being led down a scarier or more uncertain path. But that is not to say that Carter Hall is not going down an uncertain path, which he definitely is, but with his information concerning the darkness that is the Bat and the Nth metal as he was once exposed to it, it kind of makes me personally feel quite unsure for Batman, as Yes, Batman is a powerhouse of knowledge. I spoke a bit in episode 8 about how he is the brains of the operation when it comes to most things, and yes, he is. But what happens when you simply don't have enough information available? That is the eerie part of Dark Knight's metal and the dark series, if you will, or the metal series. If I round up what I said, it's kind of the idea of heading into the unknown. And it's not simply the fact that the dark multiverse is an unknown part of the multiverse in itself, but it's the fact that even Batman lacks knowledge. That is the eerie part. I think that the main theme in Dark Knight's metal and the metal series, including the preludes, is that knowledge isn't always a good thing, or to phrase it better, knowledge can be dangerous. The discovery of the dark multiverse will not reap any benefits, in fact, it will reap chaos and danger. So, unleashing such out of mere curiosity is kind of a dark thing, no pun intended. As famously said, curiosity kills the cat. I think we've all had those moments, maybe as a child, when you're about to put your hand into the fire and you learn the consequences of that. And although we don't know the consequences yet, curiosity isn't particularly always a good thing, as it can reap bad things or bad consequences. I don't think any reader has a good feeling about the dark multiverse and what is coming up. However, similarly to Batman or anybody else, I think it is a very tempting thing. I don't think anyone who is really into DC doesn't want to know what this part of the multiverse has to offer, and therefore we seek it out anyway, just like Batman or Carter Hall did. So the main message that I'm trying to get across is that why seek it out? And the reason we seek it out is because we want to know. But is knowing always a good thing? That is the question I will leave this on. And with that amazingly bad segue, let's go to the In The Moment segment, the part of the show where I literally just talk about what I'm doing at the moment when it comes to anime and comics. This week, I've kind of been doing a mixture of things, one of which, if you listen to last episode, will be kind of similar. I've been really going hard on Monogatari second season. In fact, I finished it when this is being recorded, so literally today, or a few hours ago. I got through the Hitagi End arc, the Shinobu Time arc, and the Nadako Medusa arc quite quickly, and yikes, it has been good, but very, very eerie. I recommend watching Monogatari, or the Monogatari series, right now. I never knew I'd be saying that, because when you get into anime generally, you kind of just start looking at some series that people have recommended, you look on Mal maybe and you see something in the top 100 and you're like, maybe I should watch this because it's quite popular and rated very good, but you don't really know about how good it is until you really see it. I had some very weird misconceptions of Monogatari. In my head it kind of seemed like some witch school or something just messed up that I didn't really understand. But getting into it, Monogatari has definitely been the series for me. From the cinematography to the arc structure to all of that, I think it's grown into something that I really fit into and really enjoyed. Kind of reminds me of Makaka City Actors from the Kage Pro project or Kage project or whatever it's called. It really reminds me of that, but the thing is, it is way better, and by no means am I comparing them when it comes to story and narrative. The only thing I'd say they have similarly is visuals, which I was comparing on. However, I'm just really happy to see something like this pop up now. A series that is lengthy and really fun to watch and really interesting to watch, with the perfect balance of action and dialogue and details, and all of those things have come together to make a series that I really love. The second thing I would say that I have been doing is I've kind of been getting a bit into manhwa recently. I personally don't talk about manhwa much. I would love to speak about Manhwa and the cast, however, but personally I don't really speak about how much Manhwa I've read because it's abysmally low. It's a number from 1 to 5. You can probably guess which one, but I haven't read much Manhwa, I'll be honest, but I'm having a good time with it. Recently, been getting into Tower of God after finding out that there will be an anime adaptation. Yes, I'm one of those people that when they hear there's an anime adaptation, they're right on it. Sadly, I'm one of those people, but really having a lot of fun with Tower of God, and I'm excited to see it in an anime. A lot of test arcs, I don't know how they will really work around all the arcs and the content, as there is a lot of content right from the start. But then again, I'm excited to see how it goes. Final thing, and okay, final two things actually, as this is a comic episode, so I think we have a bit more time to talk about what I've been doing recently. And one of those are JoJo's. Personally, I don't watch JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. JoJo's fans are now going to be knocking at my door to watch all 5 parts and then read the manga up to part 8. I'm not feeling it at the moment, but recently, when I'm kind of just bored or down, JoJo's are the way to go for me, and there are hundreds and hundreds of JoJo's, and I've recently come to the conclusion that JoJo's has been probably one of the most influential anime of this decade, and I can't really say that in a better way. In terms of meme culture and everything it's done for the genre and for the medium in general, when it comes to getting it out there, JJBA, no matter how mimetic or hyperbolic it is, it will always be at the forefront because of that very nature. And I've kind of just come to accept that recently. The JoJo's have reinforced it, and I'm having a great time looking at all of those, like watching Jotaro play Smash Bros and all that silly stuff, but it's just hilarious. Finally, in terms of comics, I started Batman Last Knight on Earth. I'm currently working through that. I'm still in the first part. I think there's a second part out by now, or maybe a third even, but I am working through that. I will get to it. I'm having mixed feelings with it. It's not because I don't enjoy it. It's just very vague at the moment, kind of like The Forge, if you will. It hasn't really said what's going to happen. It's kind of in a stage where things are unraveling and sort of becoming whole. So I'm kind of in the middle of that at the moment. I will get to it though. But that is going to do it for the In The Moment segment. It's sellout time. If you do want to contact the show, that is getinthemecha@gmail.com. That is getinthemecha, M-E-C-H-A, @gmail.com. If you do want to follow me outside the show, find out when these episodes go live, that is @getinthemecha, similar to my email, getinthemecha, on Twitter. Also, just for the show, consider leaving a review. Consider subscribing as well to get these shows right when they come out. And now I will just close the show with some closing thoughts on The Forge. Personally, I think The Forge is an interesting one, and not in the same way that I said Tokyo Ghoul Re was an interesting one. When I say an interesting one in this context, I kind of mean interesting in the way that it doesn't really want to show its cards. In fact, The Forge holds back most of its cards for later on. It is very dependent on the idea of the slow reveal, in the way that it slowly brings together these various events and things that Batman has collected over the years, leading into this one event. But the thing about that very event, or very location, is the fact that it is very unknown. It's the fact that it is simply a concept. None of us have seen the Dark Multiverse to prove that it is really there. It, in fact, is only Batman's intuition that is leading him, or compelling him to this one very place. The Diary of Carter Hall, okay, is somewhat evidence for that. But how much of it does it sway Batman not to pursue this? Not at all. It's kind of like being a spectator to an accident. You can't do anything about it, but simply watch as he goes further and deeper into the dark multiverse, or gets closer towards it. Personally, I am a fan of Dark Knight's Metal and Dark Days the Forge. Reading it again, I did think it was slightly short, but that's no one's fault. I think that kind of adds to the effect even, if you want to read that deep. It lends itself to the idea of the slow reveal. I think in the casting, there is a lot more advancement towards that very concept and conceptualizing what really is the dark multiverse. The dark multiverse at the moment is simply a dream, a fantasy, a dark fantasy that is, a concept, a conspiracy. And to tie everything together, I will leave you on this one thought, and that is that although knowledge is power, is knowledge always a good thing? Thank you for listening to this episode of the GITM podcast. That was episode 11. I think I'm going to prioritize my comic book content for this Dark Knight's Metal arc, which I will be doing on the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Next time I will be speaking about the casting, which is the second part of the prelude to Dark Knight's Metal. Honestly, I did enjoy Dark Knight's Metal as a whole. I do need to reread a few bits before I do the entire review, but I am very happy with this, and I would say it has been probably one of my favorite things to read as of recent. But that is it for this episode. Again, if you did get value from this, consider sharing it around, it helps a ton. But regardless of that, have a lovely week. Hopefully I will see you in the next episode of Get to the Mecha. I actually don't know what I'll be speaking about. Maybe I will do the casting, but hopefully I will see you next week. Goodbye. The music in this production goes as follows. Difference by Chasers Gaming. Chipscape by Chasers Gaming. Mandatory Overtime by Joth. Anomaly by Eric Medeas under soundimage.org, and Autumn of Life by Eric Medeas under soundimage.org.